Here we are this morning back again, just seeking the Lord for what he has to say to us. Our relationship with others, I noticed that was as far as it went in the in our program, but when you wrote a letter to me, you said with people at church and at work and our neighbours and our friends, and it just spelt out the list of all who the others were. So let's just really see what the Lord has to say for us this morning. We began, did we not, with our relationship with God. We looked at God our Father and his broken heart crying out for us, longing that we should come back into a right relationship with him, dying for us so that we might be forgiven, so that we might be able to enter in once more into his presence, clothed in the righteousness that he has given us, that we might be able to begin to live as his children. Have we all done that? How is it with your heart this morning? Are you in a right relationship with God? Because that is our starting point. We believe what the scripture says when it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added unto you. And I know in context it's talking about many practical and everyday things in that regard. But actually, if putting God in his right place means that all the pieces of our lives can then take their proper place. And without God in his right place, in the end, we believe that nothing else really fits exactly right. I know that there are people in the world who never have a thought about God, who seem to be pretty together. But we know that in the light of eternity, their lives are not together at all. And that a right relationship with God is where we start. So very lovingly and I believe being faithful before God to what he has called me to do, I want to lovingly ask you this morning, is your heart right with God? Take this marvellous opportunity just where we just step out of the busyness of our world for just a few hours together. Take time to think deeply about this. And if you know your heart isn't right with God, you know, just switch off from what I'm saying and whatever and just you commune with God in your own heart and sort it out, because that's the most important thing you can do this weekend. Admit your need. Look into the face of Jesus. See him loving you, dying for you, dying your death, paying the penalty for your sin, and open your heart to him and ask him to come into your heart and forgive you, heal you, comfort you, deliver you. I know that there are so many here with broken hearts. It's the society in which we live. It's the world in which we're part of. That's the way it is. So please, begin. Sort out your relationship with God. I wasn't here on Friday night, but I believe that we were challenged on Friday night to, you know, get rid of the mask and be real. Well, please, be real at that point. Sort out your relationship with God. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, he not only died for our sin, but the book of Isaiah tells us that he also bore our griefs and sorrows on the cross. So come to him with what you are, with all that's inside of you. And as we look at and stop and particularly focus on relationships, I know that I know already, because of those of you who have come and spoken to me, I know the things that I've been thinking about myself in the midst of all of what we're considering. I know that it stirs up many things inside of us. And we have many griefs and sorrows and pains and heartaches. But you know, when Jesus died on the cross, he bore those too. I vividly remember the day when God showed me that. I was singing away in a meeting. An old hymn, I lay my sins on Jesus. I don't know whether it's in your church tradition, that hymn. And then the second verse said, I lay my griefs on Jesus, my sorrows and my cares. And I stopped singing. And I thought, my griefs and my sorrows? And I'd always said, inside of me, there's like a Pandora's box. you know, full of all the woes of the world. You know that that box that was delivered tied up with a knot, you know, addressed to somebody else, and she thought, you know, like those letters that come for your kids and you... But you would never, ever do anything like Pandora did. But, you know, and she undid it all, remember, and all the woes of the world start to come out, and so she sat on real quick. And I thought, Lord, there's a box like that inside of me. If I open the lid, I'll never get off the floor. I'll be so crushed by the things that are inside. And as I sang that hymn that morning, I thought, surely he has borne our griefs and sorrows. And I thought, of course, Lord, I can open the lid. And then I can look in the eye all the things inside of my heart. And just as I gave my sin to you, I can give that to you. And I did. And just like God forgives our sin, God comforted and healed and delivered me. So that I could look those things in the eye. Come to Him just as you are. With all that means to you, with all of your perceptions of who you are and what you have experienced and where you come from, what your heritage is and what your life has been, come to Him and give all that you are to Him, all of your sin, all of your heartache, all of your sorrow, all of your broken dreams, all of your disillusionments and fears and doubts and confusion, give it to Him. He loves you. He bore it all for you on the cross. Open the door and let Him come in and bind up these things and bear them so that you can be loosed and be freed to be all that He made you to be. Oh, how He loves you and me. How He longs for us to be freed to be all that He made us to be. So my dear sisters, if this morning there is a mountain between you and the Lord, no matter how jagged and painful and tangled it is, bring it to Him. Cast all your care on Him because He cares for you. Let Him open the door of your heart and let Him meet you where you are. How is your relationship with Him today? And we've considered that together. And I sense in my heart that God is really speaking to you. So just respond to what He's saying. Respond to what He's saying. All the things that have been stirred up, even as you considered conflicts yesterday, even as you considered your own self-esteem, and I was unable to be in the room for that message on Hannah, but I gather from what you have shared with me that you were greatly blessed by it. All the things that God has stirred up, just give them to Him right now. Lord, I pray that You will move amongst us. Lord, I thank You that You are here. Lord, we think about coming away for a weekend and we forget, Lord, that You are here and that it's an appointment with You. Lord, I pray that You will just minister to the need of each heart here. Lord, we come to You and confess our sin and our grief and our sorrow and our burdens and our care. Oh God, we know that You love us. Oh Father, we just give it all to You. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for bearing my grief and sorrow on the cross as well as my sin. Thank You for loving me as I am. Oh Lord, come into my heart afresh right now, Lord. And cleanse me of the guilt of sin. Bind up my broken heart. Heal my wounds. Set me at liberty where I am bound. I give myself to You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Amen. I really believe that's what God wants to do. And it's very significant, I believe, in the light of what Paul says in the book of Romans about our needing that challenge to be yielded to you. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. All that you are, yielded to Him. Paul goes on then to say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as we start from that place of a right relationship with God, and as we then to begin then to live as His children, as we then begin to submit our minds to what His Word says, then He begins to change our way of thinking, and as a result, changes our way of acting. Because you know, in the end, what you really believe in your heart affects the way you act. If you're walking along with a cup of coffee and somebody bumps you, it isn't tea that falls on the floor, is it? It's what the cup is full of that spills out. And we might say we believe certain things and mouth words and sing glorious hymns and memorize scripture, but unless we've actually changed our thinking, not been conformed to this world, turned from the world's thinking in the core of our being, and begun to enter into God's way of thinking, return from our own thinking and the world's thinking, and say, God, I choose to begin to believe your word and act upon it, then we will not be changed. And many of our reactions show that we really don't believe at all what we say we do. And this evidences itself very strongly in our relationships. What we really believe is revealed. And when we come to Christ, the whole centre of our life is changed. You know what Paul said in Corinthians? That we henceforth no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Jesus. Jesus comes into the centre of our being, so everything comes from that point. I'm sure I've told you before the story. Maybe I told you yesterday. I don't know. I've spoken so many times this week, I can't remember what I said where. I'm sorry. Can I say it after all that talk? Can I say it? No, I can't say it's menopause. I've done that. There was one table here at dinner last night and breakfast this morning. In fact, we had an escapee from that table come to our table to say, I've got to sit somewhere else. I can't stand it anymore. But anyhow, I can't remember whether I told you this story, but once I was in Central Australia with CWCI on safari. No, I'm sure I didn't tell you yesterday. It was in Scone a couple of days ago. And here we were in this corrugated iron building with a cement floor, you know, and the men sat on chairs and the women on the floor. I mean, you know. And behind there were these two Aboriginal boomerangs on the wall with an Aboriginal message on it. And I said, what does that say? And they said, oh, it says we bring our boomerangs to praise God, not to fight. And I thought, oh, that sounds like a good idea. And I didn't realise it was literally true, because when the music began, and they said, come on, Fred, come on, Lylan, we're going to sing now. Up Fred and Lionel got with two boomerangs each and banged them together, and that was our music. So we were singing, this is the day, you know, and the boomerangs. And then they opened the meeting in prayer, and one of the men prayed, dear Heavenly Father, we love you. You make our hearts clean. You're a good stockman. You're number one boss. You bless this mob. Now that Aboriginal man got it right, didn't he? His heart had been made clean. He'd come into the family of God and he knew God was caring for him. And then he said, you're number one boss. That means what you say, boss, I'll do. Maybe we should change the word Lord to boss and we might get it better, mightn't we? What do you think? Maybe it's more in line with our culture to say God's number one boss. Maybe the Aborigines understand it better than we do. And you see, that's what is at the core when we start to talk about relationships. It isn't really, in the end, a great mystical thing. It's actually you and I in simple, childlike obedience, doing what the boss tells us to do. And if we stopped debating about it and just did it, ever so many of our problems in relationships would disappear in a moment. We're very expert at knowing all about the chains that bind us. We know how many links, the strength, tensile strength of the metal. We know the shape of each, but you know, we're very expert about the chains in our society today. But Jesus came to break chains. He came to set the prisoner free. And as we begin to take hold of all that he is and walk in simple, childlike obedience to the number one boss, I promise you so many things will sort out. And as we talk about right relationships with others, what was the commandment? The simple commandment that just comes down to us through the corridors of time. It's love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? But there's a lot of living in it, isn't there? And it's not so simple in the nitty-gritty of everyday life. And so I thought about this and I thought, how will we approach this subject today? We could approach it so many different ways. And many different scriptures comes to mind that we could just work through practical instructions about the way we ought to treat our neighbours and how we should, the people around us and how we should relate to them. But in the end, God said there are actually no categories. There is actually no way to treat the church, your church friends, your Christian brothers and sisters, your neighbours, your friends, your family, your workmates. There's no categories. There's no little brackets that says, love the people who are like you, love the people who are kind to you, love the people who are who understand you, love the people who can really help you. No, it just says, love people, full stop. Aren't you sorry? You know that sometimes. Yes, and Peter even said, keep fervent your love for one another. Love each other fervently from the heart. I wonder why Peter was so strong about that. I reckon he couldn't shake off the reality of what it was like to live 3 years with Jesus. Wouldn't you say? Couldn't escape that. Val was sharing some things this morning about one of her children who has said, you know, how could I be any different after the way you brought me up? And it was, you know, sometimes it's an accusation, isn't it? You know, you taught me. This isn't what she said, but I know I've heard my children say similar things. You've taught me to love and be open and helpful to people in need. How can you blame me if I fall in love with them, etc., you know, all of those sort of things. And you see, you live in an atmosphere, you become part of it, and Peter grew up, had those 3 incredible years with Jesus. And as he wrote to those people in his letter, he knew that one of the things they needed to do, he knew what one of the keys was. He knew that it was love one another fervently from the heart. He had walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, slept and ate and skylarked. I mean, you can imagine those 12 guys, 13 guys, like a bunch of young Aussie mates, can't you? Going around the countryside. What a time they must have had. So serious and yet so much fun. All of those things together. You imagine 12 young guys travelling the countryside with this 30-year-old. What a great time they must have had. And out of it all, he said, it's love, that's the key. Love one another fervently from the heart. Now, how did Jesus love? What did Peter see? What did John see, who wrote so powerfully about love? What did each of them see, day by day by day? What did they experience as they were there so close to Jesus, with his every action, his every reaction, no matter what was hurled at him? He never ever became like the people who hurled things at him. And we so easily do, don't we? We so easily, just like that, become like the people that attack us. But Jesus never. He was his own man, totally. Totally. There he was, love, full stop, no matter how he was bumped. Nothing else but love poured out, did it? Absolutely nothing else, no matter who he met. I've just listed a few things, and I've said so much already, I doubt that I'll be able to cover them, but he loved people with acceptance, didn't he? Total acceptance. He loved what people were. He loved them as they were. And do you know what? There was nobody like him. He never met one person that was like him, did he? I sometimes try to imagine. Sometimes when I'm in a foreign country and they have very different hygiene standards, etc., etc., to ours, and I walk along the street and there's the stench and the filth and the unhygienic conditions, and you just kind of shudder inside, you know what I mean. And I think, for Jesus, walking the streets of this earth, it must have been like that all the time. The awareness of the presence of evil must have been so overwhelming to him. The rebellion in men's hearts, their immorality and their sin, he must have been so keenly aware of these things, and yet he embraced us. He touched the leper. He took our sin upon him and became sin for us. That's how he loved. He loves with an amazing, overwhelming acceptance. The rich young ruler, an attractive, educated young man, came and Jesus looked at him and he loved him. Even though he knew what was in his heart and that that young man would turn his back on him and walk away. He sat there at the table of Simon the Pharisee, eating dinner, and in came this wretched woman. Not a word was spoken. She came right over to Jesus' feet, and Jesus looked at her. The Pharisees, horrified. Doesn't he know? If he was a man of God, he'd know she was a sinner. How could he bear for her to touch him? And yet he just looked. And she knelt at his feet and began to cry. And he let her tears wash his feet. And her perfume she poured out and dried his feet with her hair. And he loved her and forgave her. He didn't say, for goodness sake, woman, get yourself together and then we'll have a nice talk. There's a nice quiet room over here. We'll go there and have a little chat. He even reached out in love to Simon the Pharisee, who was so obnoxious. And he said, Simon. And he told the story about the debtor that was forgiven his debts, seeking to reach out in love to that man, Simon. The root of so many of our struggles in relationships is we don't love people as they are. Isn't it? I remember the day when I was very frustrated in my husband not coming to the Lord and in his reaction in a certain situation, and I was throwing a tantrum before the Lord. You would never do that, would you? You know, that like the kids in the supermarket, you know, I want, you know, the ones that belong to the people that walk behind, you know, they never ever belong to you. And God said to me, Glenda, would you shout at a blind man if he tripped over a stone in the road? He said, Glenda, blind men can't see. I said, Lord, forgive me. I can open my heart and love him and accept him as he is, even if he never changes. That's what it's all about. Is there someone in your life right now that you need to love with Jesus accepting love? that kid that's broken your heart. That mother that never measured up for you, let alone you for her. The father that didn't treat you like a father should. The husband that didn't change. The family that you got along with him. You thought you were just getting a husband, but you got a family, didn't you? This is what it's about, isn't it? This is where the rubber hits the road. This is what it means to build a house on a rock. You want to know stability in your life? You want to know that settledness in your soul? Then hear the word of God and act upon it right now. Right now, right now, that relationship that you cannot grapple with, that person that you cannot love as they are. Because in the end, they're just wretched sinners just like you, struggling to cope with life just like you. Stop trying to be like God and control what they are. Push them into your mold of what they ought to be. Why don't you love them as they are and free them for God to make them into what He wants them to be? Right now, confess your sin. Say, Lord, forgive me. I don't love like you love. I don't love with acceptance. Oh God, renew my mind. Help me to love them like you do. Even though there is, as I said before, that tangled mess between you and them, that painful thing that's been there for years, give it to Jesus. Say, God, you know the way it is. You know what I've suffered. You know what I mean. So you can be honest with God. You can be real with God. We're too fake, even with God. Be honest with God. Confess the attitudes of your heart. Confess it as sin. Say, Jesus, I want to be like you. I want to bear your image. I want to be your child. I want to be the child of my Father. I want people to see me and know what family I belong to. I want my life to so shine before men that they'll see you and glorify your name, Lord. Well, do it. Obey. Turn from sin. Take hold of the cleansing of sin. Take hold of the healing and comfort and forgiveness and deliverance that Jesus can give. And open your heart to Jesus and to those people around us. And love and accept them. See, that song that was sung last night, the blood has not lost its power. Has it? The blood of Jesus can cleanse your heart of sin and break the power of sin so that you can reach out and love and accept whoever that is, whatever they've done, whatever they represent to you, and whatever they represent to me. See, this time is not just a time to think. It is a time to act. A time to begin to build that house on a rock that no matter what the weather of life brings, no matter what people throw at the house, it will stand firm. Jesus not only loved with acceptance, he loved with respect. Oh, sometimes we're respectful to everyone except the most important people in our lives. It's amazing how rude we can be, is it not? To those within the family or maybe in the church. And yet we'd never dream of being quite so rude, although sometimes we are extremely rude to people in the world. We treat people outside who are not Christians. Sometimes we treat them like they're a different race. Like if they stub their toe, it won't hurt like our toes hurt. If they cut their finger, it won't bleed like our fingers bleed. We fail to treat them with respect as real people with real feelings. Treat people that need to be treated with great respect. And tied in with this respect, I see in Jesus such a humility of spirit. It's like Jesus looked up to everybody. I really spent a lot of time thinking about how it was that Jesus could relate so well to every single person in the world, even though there was nobody that was like him. And how a complete stranger, the woman of the well is a woman I come back to so many times. He was this complete stranger from a different culture. So here we have even a cross-cultural thing happening. And here she was, she came up, he could see what her life was. He knew in his heart, anyhow, but no doubt it was written all over her. 5 times married, living with number 6, you know, not much more than a prostitute in her village. And he saw her, and that conversation began. And that woman, just like that, who I'm sure never admitted a serious thought to anyone, I mean, nobody would have singled her out in the village of Sychar for a theological discussion, would they? If they wanted to discuss about where people should worship, do you think they would have thought, oh, I'll go and see her? No. Do you think if they wanted to talk about the Messiah coming, they would have knocked on her door for a cup of coffee? No. And yet in 2 minutes, this woman was opening her heart, telling Jesus how she knew about this controversy about worship, how she thought about it, told him she was looking forward to the Messiah coming because he would have the answers to all the questions that were in her heart. She said to him, I'm so thirsty. If only you knew how thirsty I am. In front of a complete stranger. What was it about Jesus' attitude to her that enabled her to bear her soul like that? You'd say, that woman's been hurt so many times, she's too vulnerable, she's got such a wall, I can't get nearer. Do you know people like that? Maybe you come in too high. Maybe you're looking down at her instead of up at her. Maybe you think you could tell her a thing or two. Jesus even saw a blind man who cried out to him. What did Jesus say? We would have said, I can see what your problem is, mate. Just come over here and we'll just fix up what your problem is. No. Jesus, as it were, knelt at his feet and said, what can I do for you? Isn't that remarkable? A blind man, and Jesus said, what can I do for you? Respect. Humility. No wonder people opened their hearts to him. No wonder they trusted themselves to him. Oh, if only we would begin to love as Jesus loved. That woman of the well, that wretched woman whose life was such a shambles. Can you imagine the pain after 5 divorces? Can you imagine what was heaped up inside of her? Such a woman. Jesus revealed himself to her as the Messiah, and she was the first person alive at that time that Jesus revealed himself to as the Messiah. He gave her a unique place in history. Such a woman. He loved her as she was. You know, we had a song last night, Listen to God's Heart. I tell you, we have to listen to people's hearts too. And Jesus listened to their hearts. And he loved them with acceptance and with humility and respect. And as a result, they were freed to be open to all that God had for them. Free to receive the forgiveness that Jesus had, to set them free from sin, free to be set free from the chains that bound them, free to be filled with him and to begin to live for his glory. My dear brothers and sisters, no, brother and sisters, no, just sisters, sorry. My dear sisters, our relationship with others, whoever they are, whether they're Christian or non-Christian, whether they're Buddhist or New Age or Hindu or just plain old Aussie pagan and give you a hard time because you're a Christian. We need to love as Jesus loved. And maybe we'd find then that the women of the well that we meet, and the lepers, and the blind men, and the paralyzed, maybe we'll find that they'll not only open our hearts to us, but to our Saviour. And maybe we'll earn the right to be heard. And we'll earn the right to take them by the hand and put their hand in Jesus' hand. Because we've shown them what Jesus is like. I guess I'm only halfway through what I prepared, and I'm sure that's enough and our time is gone. How is your relationship with God? Oh, please. Don't leave. Don't go back to all that your life is and all the pressure and all that there is. Don't go back there without setting it right. You'll never have another moment quite like this one. How is your relationship with others? If God, through this weekend, has brought to the surface a relationship in your memory, or a present relationship that you need to deal with simple, childlike obedience, then please deal with it. Be honest with God. Speak out to Him all the hurt and the pain and disillusionment and fear and all the things that are tied up with that relationship, all the guilt. Confess your sin. See Him dying on the cross and bearing all of that for you and with you. And open your heart to Him and ask Him to come in. You don't need to carry that around anymore. Aren't you sick to death of it? And don't be afraid. Sometimes we get so used to these things that we get afraid of what it'll be like without them. How will I handle relating to that person without this? It's frightening. But I tell you, Jesus is able to set you free and to transform you by the renewing of your mind. I was telling someone yesterday about a program I saw on telly. I live near the zoo in Sydney. And don't be rude about that. And there was a program about the gorillas when they made the new gorilla enclosure. The gorillas had always been locked up in cages, right? And they made this beautiful area, almost as big as this room, I guess it is, with grass and trees and water and things to climb over. And the day came when they threw open the gorilla cage for the gorillas to come out and enjoy their new world. And they didn't move. It was absolutely fascinating. They peered out, went back in. One of them came out and went along the wall like this, and then ran back inside. Another very brave one, on tippy toe lest he really touched the grass more than he had to, ran out and then ran back. And it was days before the gorillas actually ventured out and began to live in this lovely place that had been prepared for them. We're not all that different. Some of us are so comfortable in our cages in our disobedience, and that's what it is in the final analysis, in our disobedience and unbelief and sin, so busy clutching on to the bars of wrong attitudes and destructive relationships, that even though the open door is there, we are afraid to go out into the abundant land that God has for us. He came to set the prisoners free. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. He came to set at liberty those that are bound. You can have as much of God as you really want, my sisters. It's all there. All that Paul took hold of is available to you. All that Peter took hold of is available to you. All that all of those people we revere in church history took hold of, you know, in a sense, all that Jesus took hold of is available to you, because he laid aside his glory and limited himself as a man. And he said, I don't speak my words, I speak the words God gives me. I don't do my works, I do the work God gives me. Jesus fully lived by the resource of the indwelling Spirit of God. And that same Spirit indwells you and me. Why do we live our lives in cages when there is an abundant land for us to live in? Oh, my sisters, today, do what you need to do to get your relationship right with God. He has done all that is necessary. All you need to do is admit your need and receive what he has given. Get right your relationships with others. He has done all that is necessary. Come to him and receive all that he is, and take hold of all that he is to set those relationships right.